Deanna Shields, and you're listening to The Cozy Sleuth. Today, Snoops and Sleuths, I'm with the author of The Cat That Chased Cadillacs. Oh, Olivia Panther? Was it?
Olivia Pantera.
Pantera. Ah. We will get this right.
That's okay.
That happens to be the pen name for my friend, David Nicholas, here. David, would you like to introduce yourself and explain a little bit of about your books and pen name situations?
Yeah, thank you, Leanna. I know it's probably a little confusing, and I hope not offensive to anyone, because that was the last thing I wanted to do. But as a writer, right now this book is on Kindle Vella, so it is on Amazon, and it's not my first published piece, but it's my first piece that I'm working on through Amazon, and so I figured maybe I should come up with a pen name. So since this cozy features a black cat detective, my little buddy Panther here, he's a cat that I rescued when he was 2 weeks old. So we have another cat named Oliver, and so I took those two names and came up with Olivia Pantera. So that's the reason for the pen name. Also, I figured there are an abundance of women authors in the cozy genre, and it didn't hurt to have a woman's name. But I hope no one takes offense to that. And the book itself, I'm sorry. You want me to talk about the book?
Oh, of course.
Okay. The book itself is about a black cat detective named Buckleberry, and his owner calls him Buck. And they live in a little mountain town called Copper Summit. And there's a mystery that Buck and his owner, Shaw, Detective Shaw, have to solve. Buck talks to us, but the only people that can really understand Buck are fellow animals. Humans, at least at this point, don't know that Buck is, one, able to talk, and then two, is actually a detective.
Well, that sounds so cute.
It's fun. It really is fun. And a lot of the humor and the, I don't know, the funness of it come from Buck's interactions with all the animals around him. His friends and suspects and people that he uses to chase down leads and things like that.
Right. Actually, that kind of reminds me, one of my other favorite cozy mystery series, the Mrs. Murphy mysteries.
Okay. I haven't read those.
Oh, they're... Mrs. Murphy is a cat owned by the town's postmistress, who...
Okay.
...happens to also be an amateur sleuth, but the cat... It's written a lot from the cat and her dog's perspective, so...
Oh,
there is that
great
conversation between animals and things. It's
right.
So it's very similar in ways.
Okay. Yeah, I really enjoy that. And a lot of cozies have animals, but they don't talk and interact too much. And I hear that you have an animal at your place.
Yes, my furry co-host had to put in her,
what's
two
her name?
Cents worth. Ruby.
Ruby. That's a great
She's
name.
A red healer.
Hmm.
I swear, smarter than I am sometimes.
Yeah, those cattle dogs really, oh my gosh, they are so smart. It's like they understand what you're thinking. I don't know how that's even possible.
I know.
But yeah.
And what's funny is with Ruby, she can tell when I'm wearing my headphones for working, and if my cell phone goes off, she starts becoming like a second alert to that cell phone.
Get out of here.
She taught herself to do that.
Oh, that's amazing. Animals are, they're just so great.
Yeah, I love animals.
Same.
So is any of your writing inspired by your actual life?
Well, Panther is. my black cat. I mean, I don't know if he was the origin of this story, but he's certainly an inspiration for it. So he's like my little shadow. He follows me around everywhere. And it's fun to think of him in place of Buck, you know, in different adventures. And I guess the town that we live in, up here in the mountains of North Carolina, it's a small town and it's very much like Copper Summit. In fact, it helps me keep track of places when, you know, when you plot things out in your mind where things should be. I actually think of real locations in my town and then, you know, switch them out with fictional locations in the book. What else? I guess the snow. There's a big snowstorm in The Cat That Chased Cadillacs, and maybe that's wish fulfillment on my part because I love snow, and we should get a lot of snow here in the mountains, but unfortunately we don't get as much as we should, I think. But writing a book, I'm allowed to have a massive snowstorm. So that's fun to write about.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. With my series, the Mystic Ranch Mysteries, I actually based it between two real locations here in Colorado. There's a tourist town I love going to called Pagosa Springs. And then to the west of that, there's a bigger town called Durango. So yes. I put my fictional town of La Sola, Colorado smack between those two places.
That's so cool. And yeah, it keeps things anchored in your head.
Yeah.
That's great. I think it makes your writing more realistic too, because you now have a perspective that you've lived before. So it's a little bit easier to write about.
Oh, absolutely. And it's also fun when you can put in some of your favorite things into those worlds too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
Like, my main character loves old movies and can quote them at the drop of a hat for most situations. So I kind of put my love of old movies in there, and it's...
You know, I'm going to have to read. I'm going to have to read your books, because they seem in a way similar to mine, in that they're not strictly a cozy mystery. There is a fantasy element involved. And that's unusual. So I really look forward to reading those by you.
Thank you. And I look forward to reading yours too, because yours sounds so much fun.
Well, you know what? That's the word. I hope that the people that read it really do have fun reading it. I think the chapters with the animals, and my wife agrees, are particularly fun because they're, I don't know what the word is. It's just, you don't see that too often in writing, you know, animals conversing with each other. So it's kind of fun to read.
Yeah, it's kind of a rarity. I mean, if there is an animal in the cozy mysteries, they're doing animal-y things. They're
Right. They're more sidekicks. They're and we don't see things from their perspective that often.
Right.
You said I'm sorry, Leanna. No. I had heard earlier that you were a fan of the Cat Who mystery series. And I haven't read those, but how do they tackle the cats or the animals' interactions with humans?
Well, Coco was your smarter than average cat, but he was still very much a cat. He tripped. If he sensed that it was the bad guy was around, he tripped them or did little things like that.
Right.
But
right.
It still looked very much cat-ish. Yeah. And Yum Yum, the other cat, was kind of a thief. So sometimes she'd end up stealing something that happened to be a clue or something that would
Right.
steer Quillren's mind to the case, but it
Gotcha.
was still very much normal animal behavior.
Got it. I think that's the hardest part of writing a series like this because there's that barrier, there's a wall between the animal and the human, but you've got to convey information beyond that barrier. So how do you do that? You just have to be creative with your answers. But that's a lot of the fun of writing this series is trying to make, if the cat or if the story is told from the cat's point of view, and this one is, then the cat has to be present for all of these things that are happening, illegal things or police interviews or things like that. And so how do you get to the cat? How do you get the cat into that situation? And that's been the challenge with this, but it's also made writing the story so much fun.
Yeah, I get that. I again, probably talking a little bit too much about my own books, but there's an animal character in mine named Philosopher, which is very funny because the main character runs a ranch. What is a rancher doing with a pet named Philosopher?
Right. That's
But
so cool.
he's a what I call a glow beast, and he follows Sabia, the main character, everywhere, and his fur changes color depending on mood. So, like, if she's in danger, his fur changes to black. If she's afraid, it turns to yellow.
Wow, that's cool. Okay.
But it is very much the same situation. It's like, okay, she's a rancher, she has to make deliveries in town sometimes. Why is this giant cat allowed to go into stores with her?
I've come up against the same problems, but you as an author, you figure it out.
Right.
And that I love that part of writing.
It's one of the best. And the fact that, like you said, my books have a little bit of a fantasy element to them, so it's like, okay, we can play with this a little bit more than average.
Right. I love when a conventional book has a little bit of a twist to it.
Yeah.
That's always something cool.
So, speaking of little twists and things like that, do you have any advice for those who would want to write their own cozies or just write in general?
Boy, I hesitate to give out advice only because every writer is different. Like we approach writing differently. Even my brother, who's just like me, would approach something completely differently than I would. So I don't think advice works for everyone. I'm a pantser, so but writing a mystery, you have to come into it with a bit of an outline in your head, or at least know what the final outcome or most of the final outcome would be, and then work your way to it or work your way back from it, either or. But I think being a pantser doesn't help a mystery writer, that's, I don't know. I wish I was more organized, Leanna, to be honest with you. And I could plot things out from chapter one to chapter 40 or whatever it would end up being, but I just can't write that way. I do know that I write on the Kindle Vella platform, and that keeps me accountable because I've told my readers, and not that I have many at all, but I've stated from the beginning that I release episodes on Monday and Friday. So that keeps me accountable. And I think as a writer, that's my weakness, is if I don't have someone or something to be accountable to, then I slack off and I lose my discipline. But if I know that accountability is there, it makes it easier, I think, and more pleasurable to write, knowing that I'm, writing for someone. I guess that accountability, consistency would be good advice. And we were talking earlier about maps, like maps of our towns in which these crimes take place. And I think it's important to, at the very least, have a map in your head of where everything is, or overlay it with a town that you know or that you're familiar with. At least do that, but it's much better to write it out, even small little locations, so you know how much time it takes to get from one place to another place. Or in addition to that, having a timeline for all of your characters, I think, is important too. And this is the first mystery that I've written, so these are things that I've learned along the way. But I believe that a timeline for each of your characters is really important, because that also nails down your plot, knowing where everyone and everything is at whatever time you have in your book, from the crime being committed to the murder or whatever it is being solved. You know where everyone is at every time, and that really helps you with writing and plotting.
I completely agree with you on that. On timelines, I am learning how essential that is. And actually, it's okay, unintended product plug here, but Papyrus Author is something I use, and it has a thing where you can create timelines for your characters.
Wait, what is this called?
Papyrus Author.
Papyrus Author. Okay. I'm going to check this out. I use the free version of Plotter, and for this book is relatively short. I mean, it's around 50,000 words at completion. And I have 4 pages horizontally of my timeline. So for like a normal sized novel or a longer novel, my goodness, that's going to be forever long. Yeah.
And also they allow you to make what I call character sheets, because okay. I've recently gotten into the whole Dungeons and Dragons thing.
Right.
But basically, you can make character sheets for each of your characters, and it helps you picture and come up with, okay, this will fit into their personality a little bit better than this, or...
Okay. Besides that, do you use any other writing software specifically to write with?
Google Docs. Okay. Google, if you're listening, hey, little product placement there. So, but also, like you were saying, the accountability.
Yeah,
is a big thing, because I used to take like months, nearly a year between for writing my projects. Then I got someone who wants to co-author with me for some writing projects, gosh. And we've basically slammed out like 10 books in 1 year.
Oh my gosh.
Just because we have to interact with each other and make sure our characters are right with each other.
That's amazing. Wow.
We've yet to publish any of these books, but
yeah, right. That's a lot of writing.
Yeah.
How long are each of these books?
Roughly between 60,000 and 50,000 words.
Wow. 10 in a year. Boy, I wish I was that prolific. That is great. But like you said, yeah, the accountability that is a big deal. And having a co-author, boy, each of you don't want to let the other down,
right? You
know? So it works. That's an awesome relationship.
So do you have an author that's most influenced your writing?
That is a good question. I have favorite authors. I don't know if there's one author that I could look to that I could say it's because of them that I write this way. But I love Ray Bradbury, Ian Fleming. I love Agatha Christie and how, gosh, she was just able to craft such an unknowable conclusion. You know, you're reading through her book and it just, she always seems to surprise you. And I love that about her. Okay. I love dialogue and maybe Elmore Leonard or Nelson DeMille with his Detective John Corey, I think, series. The dialogue in those books are, it's just fantastic. It's real snappy and witty. And I hope that the dialogue that I write is a tenth of that. But you can learn a lot from those two authors concerning dialogue. And I love Dennis Lehane and Conan Doyle, of course. And I've just recently gotten into Don Winslow. Have you read anything by him?
No, I haven't.
He's not cozy, but he's crime. And it's just really, it's good, hard-boiled crime. I finished, I think it was called City on Fire not that long ago, and there's a sequel that just came out to it. I can't wait to read it. But there's just so many tremendous authors out there. And it's so funny because I don't know if you feel this way, but the more great authors you read, the more convinced you are that you're a horrible writer. You know what I mean? Like I'll read something and it was like, oh my gosh, I'll never be able to top that. How, what am I doing? But yeah, so, but we have to read as authors, we have to read. And I don't, you know, I know that I'll never approach the level of those guys, but it is inspirational and aspirational. So yeah, crime novels are fantastic. And I do have to say that this is my first attempt at a cozy because I just didn't think I could pull off a real crime novel. You know, you look at those types of authors and they're so good. So I figured I'd start on a smaller level, less stakes, more fun characters, just something that I knew that I could get through. I
Right, I
guess.
get that. I get that. One of my, I recently discovered one of the classic mystery authors that I don't know if a lot of people know about, Todd Downing.
Okay, I don't know him.
He
Sounds like an English
was
name, though.
actually, he was Native American.
Oh, wow, okay.
He was the first ever professionally published Native American. He wrote Murder on the Tropic was the one that I read, and I loved his use of color and description. And like you said, the more great authors you read, the more it's like, I am awful.
That is so true. You said his name was Todd Downing?
Yes.
Okay, I just wrote it down. I'll check him out. I love reading new authors.
And he was a lot of fun to read, and I've recently come to love reading like the classics like Dashiell Hammett, Agatha Christie, Mary Roberts Rinehart.
I've read some Hammett. I haven't, besides Christie, I don't know how many other authors in the cozy genre I've read everything from, but another crime author I love is Jim Thompson. Have you read anything by him? Back from the 50s. It's really good. More, I guess more violent though. It's not considered cozy at all, but they are mysteries.
Yeah. So, when you're not writing, do you have any hobbies you like to do?
I love to ski, but I didn't ski this year. I love to read. Like I said earlier, we're in a small mountain town and we don't have a bookstore. So, that kills me. So a little while back, my wife suggested, well, we could open up our own or, maybe do something that's maybe just a bookshelf. And so I thought that was a great idea. And so I have these, I guess you could call them like little installations around town and in three or four of the shops downtown called Book Attic. And it's a shelf with used books. And then every shelf has a different top on it. Like one is a castle attic and one is a log cabin attic and one is I don't know, like a regular house attic, but there's always a light on in the top of the attic. And I love putting those types of things together and getting books for those. And then I make wax melts too. And I guess you could call that a hobby. I don't make too much from it, so, but I really love doing that. And I don't know, it's a creative thing where you get to mix different scents together, and it's one of the senses that I've, growing up and living most of my adult life, I never knew I'd have a need for, and now all of a sudden I'm making these, 10, 12 cent combination wax melts. So it's something different and I really like it.
Oh, that's awesome. So, how can my snoops and sleuths follow you?
Well, that's a good question. I did set up an Instagram as Olivia Pantera. I will give you that link. But that's really the only place I have. I was looking at Bookfunnel and I may start an author page there. But right now it's just Instagram. And then if your readers, listeners go to Kindle Vella, they can find The Cat That Chased Cadillacs by Olivia Pantera there.
And I will definitely put those links in the show's notes.
Okay, great. Great.
I've had so much fun chatting with you. I can't believe we're already at the last question.
All right, okay.
What is one complaint your characters would have about you as an author?
Okay. Buck, the cat, would hate that I'm constantly putting him out in the cold. I mean, he's had to walk his way home through a snowstorm, and his office is out back under the shed, so he's got to go back there, and his poor paws must be so cold.
Oh, poor kitty.
Yeah, so, but other than that, I don't think they'd complain too much. I don't think so.
Oh, well, I have had so much fun talking with you.
Same, Leanna, thank you. I'd love to come back again when I've got another one of these series down.
Oh, definitely. Well, Snoops and Sleuths, you've heard another great interview here from the Cozy Sleuth. I'd like to thank you for joining me on my journey. And if you want to contribute to the show, check me out on ko-fi.com/thecozysleuth. Also, if you like cozy mysteries read by live actors, check out the Cozy Mystery Rats Maze, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Until next time, this is Leanna Shields saying, keep cozy.